streams up the turrets silently, gleams up the pinnacles far and free, up domes, up spires, up kingly halls, up fanes, up Babylon-like walls, up shadowy long-forgotten bowers of sculptured ivy and stone flowers, up many and many a marvelous shrine, whose wreathed friezes intertwine the viol, the violet, and the vine. Resignedly beneath the sky the melancholy waters lie. So blend the turrets and shadows there that all seem pendulous in air, while from a proud tower in the town death looks gigantically down. There, open fanes and gaping graves yawn level with the luminous waves, but not the riches there that lie in each idol's diamond eye, not the gaily jeweled dead tempt the waters from their bed, for no ripples curl, alas. Along that wilderness of glass, no swellings tell that winds may be upon some far-off, happier sea. No heavings hint that winds have been on seas less hideously serene. But lo, a stir is in the air. The wave, there is a movement there, as if the towers had thrust aside, in slightly sinking, the dull tide, as if their tops had feebly given a void within the filmy heaven. The waves have now a redder glow. The hours are breathing faint and low, and when, amid no earthly moans, down, down that town shall settle hence, hell, rising from a thousand thrones, shall do it reverence. Edgar Allan Poe, City in the Sea. Part 1. Feel No Sorrow. In the land of faery, as mortals feel no sorrow, neither can they feel joy. Fairy Proverb. Chapter 1. Death Looks Down. There was blood on the council dais, blood on the steps, blood on the walls and the floor and the shattered remnants of the mortal sword. Later, Emma would remember it as a sort of red mist. A piece of broken poetry kept going through her mind. Something about not being able to imagine people had so much blood in them. They said that shock cushioned great blows, but Emma didn't feel cushioned. She could see and hear everything. The council hall full of guards. The screaming. She tried to fight her way through to Julian. Guards surged up in front of her in a wave. She could hear more shouting.
Emma Carstairs shattered the mortal sword. She destroyed a mortal instrument. Arrest her.
She didn't care what they did to her. She had to get to Julian. He was still on the ground, with Livy in his arms, resisting all efforts by the guards to lift her dead body away from him.
Let me through, she said. I'm his parabatai. Let me through.
Give me the sword.
It was the consul's voice.
Give me Cortana, Emma, and you can help Julian.
She gasped and tasted blood in her mouth. Alec was up on the dais now, kneeling by his father's body. The floor of the hall was a mass of rushing figures. Among them, Emma glimpsed Mark, carrying an unconscious tie out of the hall, shouldering other Nephilim aside as he went. He looked grimmer than she'd ever seen him. Kit was with him. Where was Drew? There, she was alone on the ground. No, Diana was with her, holding her and weeping. And there was Helen, fighting to get to the dais. Emma took a step back and almost stumbled. The wood floor was slippery with blood. Consul Gia Penhallow was still in front of her, her thin hand held out for Cortana. Cortana. The sword was a part of Emma's family, had been part of her memory.